young adult looking sort of people. For effective witness to the gospel and active participation in the mission outreach of the church is how it was worded. And we had a blueprint, which many of you have heard about, some of you probably haven't, a blueprint. And this blueprint, by the way, lately has been advertised as the thing we've done for 150 years. It isn't. Write this down. It is not. The blueprint has been super flexible for our entire history since 1874. In Ellen White's own words, and this will be relevant to our conversation about being local today, no exact picture can be given for the establishment of schools in new fields. The climate, the surroundings, the condition of the country, and means at hand with which to work must all bear part in shaping the work. Pay attention. We don't all have to be alike. Brothers and sisters of colleges you've attended, and some of you are attending right now and working at. So then we got really busy planting colleges we planted colleges at a rate on average of one every 3 or 4 years for the next 30 years. Isn't that awesome? We got busy. That's awesome. Today there's 12 functioning. This is no special order, no special ranking. La Sierra University. Also, I couldn't find pictures of any other colleges. So. You're not on the internet. Other colleges? I Googled you. Loma Linda University, Pacific Union College, Walla Walla, Berman, it's brand new, Southwestern Adventist University, Union College, Andrews, Kettering, Southern Oakwood, Washington Adventist, and Adventist University of Health Sciences. That's big. That's a mouthful. It's in Florida. It's Florida Hospital College.
Amen.
All these institutions have been through name changes, by the way, which is why it's kind of hard to keep it all together. Nine of them are liberal arts institutions, and three are health professions. And by our little exercise before, most of you in this room have attended one of those. We got really busy starting K-12 schools, too. We developed, as Alex said, an excellent system, and it's still excellent. It's awesome. Yes. Our educational system is amazing. The fact that it's amazing, it's great, is not the problem right now. We'll talk about the problem in a moment. Our educational system, some of you do not know this, and this will be really like the thing you may have learned from my 10 minutes here. It employs the largest sector of our workforce. That is, it is the largest thing we do, the biggest thing we do is our education system. Did you know this? It is the single biggest and most expensive church enterprise in existence right now. It hires the most people, as I just said. It spends the most money. We spend the most money on it. And we are more invested in their buildings, institutions, than any other church function, pastoral ministry included. Did you know this? So quite literally, we are about education before even church.
Yes.
Which may invite some interesting conversation after we're done here. But as Alex said earlier, if we don't have church, we don't have education. Even though education is the larger thing that we do right now. So things have been going pretty well. Had been going pretty well until about 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago. Some of you are old enough to know, that's when the spiral began. The system used to do this. You go to K through 12, then you graduate from the academy, you go to college, you get a spouse in college, you get two kids later, you become an administrator, you retire, you move to Florida, Arizona, or Loma Linda University, some of you went to Walla Walla to retire, then you die. Excellent. The system worked. Now, as reported at the last year in meeting, over the last 15 years, we had a 16,000 less students enrolled in our K through 12 program in the last 10 years. That's a 20% drop in enrollment. We closed 271 schools in the last 10 years. This is North America, by the way. And because of that, there are just not enough academy seniors to recruit, which is really the way we used to do college. We used to say, who's graduating? Who's in my region? I'll recruit you. are poach some from the Northwest, La Sierra, or from the South, whatever, and then you poach some from me. We position ourselves to be, I'm the conservative one, you're the liberal one. You get the kids who want to be, you know, kind of liberal, you get the kids who want to be conservative, you pass the mantle, we pass the real faith. But now, 10 years ago, we all realized we're running out of seniors in the academies. They're gone. There's just not enough of them to meet our enrollment projections for every fall. So, about 11 years ago, we at La Sierra made a decision. And that decision, I wish I could tell you, was made, it was a missional decision, but it wasn't. It was a survival decision. 11 years ago, we decided to begin recruiting in our local community. Most of our high school students we knew in Southern California were attending public schools, but the vast majority, we know this to be true. So we decided we're going to visit every high school in San Bernardino, Riverside, and Orange County, and Los Angeles County. Every high school. And we committed to going to 150 of these high schools to recruit Adventists. Right. But when you cast a big net like that, I mean, we ended up with lots of students who are not Adventists. And over the course of the last 11 years, we grew by 1,000 students. It was wonderful. I mean, the campus is full. It's terrific. And some interesting stats that happen on our campus, 75% of our enrollment is coming from 50 miles or less. 4 years ago, for the first time, we enrolled a freshman class that was 48% Adventist. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, don't tweet this, because I'll get in trouble. Because my administrators do not want this number publicized. Since then, the number's creeped up to 51, 52, and we have a mandate from our board to make the number higher. Find more Adventists, please. Because there's this fear of this tipping point that parents will see these numbers and will go, wait a minute, I don't want Cassie marrying some person that's not an Adventist. I don't want my kid to go there. If my objective is that my kid marries an Adventist, there's a high degree of possibility they won't. So, by the way, Loma Linda's even lower. So if you send your child to Loma Linda, they will not marry an Adventist.
No. We have 49% Adventists. But we're one up on you.
I have no idea what they're All right, so for the next couple minutes, I just want to tell you what happened when our enrollment became, for 1 year, the freshman class 48%. Now, we believe we're at about 50% Adventist enrollment, now 4 years later, because that trend kind of continued for 4 years, hovering around 50%. Again, I know there are administrators here, former administrators, people who are way smarter than I am on this subject. I'm just giving you things to think about Adventist higher ed. Things that I had never thought about, and that we at La Sierra probably had never thought about or had not thought about for a long time, and that we as a people, as an Adventist people, have not thought about, but we had to because we're facing these changes right in front of us. Okay, so the first thing is this, if it really forces us to think about this, what is Adventist higher education for? Right? Everyone quotes Arthur Holmes, wrote this book, The Idea of the Christian College, so I recommend you do also. Everyone quotes him, and the reason why they quote him is because he's got the four reasons he gives for why denominations, churches, start higher education institutions. First one is, the first one he lists is that we want our young to be thoroughly converted, thoroughly indoctrinated. We want them to really know our faith. That's why we have these institutions. The second one is that we want them to have a great education, just the best possible education. So we commit to that, and that's what we are investing tremendous amounts of our resources in education. We want them to find a spouse. That is just the fact. We kind of laugh about it a little bit, but it's true. That's what we want. We want to form relationships that eventually lead to a spouse that shares their values and their faith. And we want a continuous supply of qualified church employees coming out of our colleges. That's what we want, right? So what happens when you get half of your enrollment that is not Adventist? Do these goals still apply? Or is the goal now to convert them, essentially? Half of you are going to convert. Half of you are going to find spouses for. So these are now new questions we're asking that we hadn't asked before. These are questions that we really faced, and we want the Adventist educational experience for our Adventist students to be exactly what we've advertised. We're an Adventist institution. We want to meet these objectives for you. We thought a lot on campus about this quote. We don't want you to be mere reflectors of other people's thoughts. Helen White, quote that we all use. And we discovered there's a tension between the concept of education, Adventist higher ed, and what we profess about education. A good friend of mine and I were talking just last week, Richard, I see you there, sit right there, about this. He doesn't want credit. No, do not credit me. And he said this. He said, our uneasy relationship with higher education is this, that we want to provide the best possible education that leads to really good critical thinking. But then we get really uncomfortable when our young adults begin to ask tough questions. Where is there to ask those questions? And why are you asking those questions? Well, we taught them to. And if we believe that our education is quality, then we should expect that these people will not be satisfied with our pat answers for a lot of the questions they have. So we promote education, but then we're also warning against education often. Beware. We're part of a system, an alum wrote me an email some time ago, and he said this: you teach in a system, you're part of a system that manufactures students who are smart and talented and driven, yes, but also anxious, timid, and lost, with little intellectual curiosity and stunted sense of purpose. Trapped in a bubble of privilege, heading meekly in the same direction, great at what they're doing, but with no idea why they're doing it. Mere reflectors of other people's thoughts. Now we're asking this. Now that we have an influx of all these students that want us to give them the same education we've been given to other people, we read this quote often. Ellen White's the purpose of Adventist education is to restore in man the image of his maker, to bring him back to the perfection in which he was created, to promote the development of body, mind, and soul, that the divine purpose in his creation might be realized. This was the work of redemption. This is the object of education, the great object of life. And we like this one best, because education, really, for Adventists, has been about redemption, hasn't it? And maybe we should begin there when we ask questions about what this is for. Here's another thing we found out as we enrolled all these students. We began to reflect our local Southern California demographics. Our largest enrollment now is Latino, about 45-48% this year. Years ago, you may have heard this, we were the most diverse campus west of the Mississippi. And that was bragging rights, but it actually didn't reflect our local community. Now it does. And it means that in the cafeteria, quite literally, we have to have rice at every meal. It's not a joke. Our students signed a petition about 5 years ago, and they said, we want rice at every meal, and please have tortillas at every lunch, please. Often, at the beginning of the year, you know what I find really amusing is sitting in the cafeteria and watching what our students do with the veggie meat. I see them returning it back to the folks behind the counter saying, something wrong with this. And that being Ken Kahn, our food services director, come out and try to explain, this is not meat. We attempted to make it taste and look like meat, but it won't. I've seen them do this. They'll take a chomp of something they thought was going to be, flesh food, and then they'll spit it back out into a napkin and hold it there. Look at our friends. What is this? We had to prepare And when we enrolled a local student body, largely local student body, we had to prepare to answer questions we've never answered before, we've never been asked before. We had to put together a sequence of classes that students move through if they've never been exposed to religious education. And sometimes we ignore this completely. We're like, yeah, welcome to Las Vegas University in the old days. Which class could you fit into? Let's put you in our Revelation class. Having absolutely no background in any kind of, I mean, they have no, anyway, you understand the problem. So we had to put together a progression the students go through that guarantees that they will not ever be lost in the class. And we won't scare them off. That we're not some crazy cult people who came from the woods and are now trying to teach them about things that they've never heard before. So we had to adapt that way. We also had to hire a staff member to just one staff member. All he does, and you see here, Martin Kroner back there, he sits with students who have questions about Adventism every single day. He organizes Bible study groups. He meets with students. That's 40 hours a week in his office, just saying, here's who we are. Here's who we are, day after day. What a beautiful job, and what a beautiful person to do, Martin Kroner. Yes. The person sitting next to him, Donovan Childs, is our chaplain that actually spends most of Wednesdays now in our satellite campuses, our criminal justice campuses that enroll this year upwards of 98% students that are not Adventist. So Donovan has to do a chapel program for students who don't even step on our campus during the week and don't really know who we are. We have to adapt in these ways. Here's another way we had to adapt. Our student missions program. We sent out 8 last year. Now, for those of you who know what student missions program, you're probably going, wow, that's, Southern sent out 100,000. Andrews, 200,000. I don't know. What we discovered is that the North American Division of Volunteer Services will not send a student missionary out if they've not been an Adventist for 1 year. So we couldn't stand in front of our student body and tell them, if you love Jesus, you should serve him. Yes. In the South Pacific, teaching kids, doing relief work. Oh, but if you're not Adventist, we don't need you right now. Thank you. Don't apply. Not good. So we got really busy finding organizations that will take our students. And guess what? There's tons. That will take you no matter what you are. Because they know that doing mission work, serving people around the world is the way to convert you, change your heart, make you into a follower of Jesus. And we also had to put together a program of local outreach that is integrated into our curriculum, our service learning program, which means that we don't have, people always ask me all the time, so what is your day of service like in Riverside? We don't have a day of service. We don't pause and the entire campus goes out. We actually have worked it into our classrooms so that teachers now, our professors, will give students an assignment every quarter that fulfills the requirements for their class. For example, the Albert school system right next to us is one of the most troubled school systems in the U.S. now has every day in their classrooms at least 200 or 300 of our students serving in their kids' programs. We as an institution gave over 15,000 hours of service to that community, to that school system last year. One of our professors has his chemistry students test water in Casablanca, one of the neighborhoods in Riverside is in trouble. They test water in homes for pollutants. That's what they do. They go door to door and they say, I'm here to test your water. Can I? So we had to do this to teach our students to serve, because our student missions program was close to them, the ones that are Adventists. Our chapel programs, you know, you can't stand in front of a group of students who are not Adventist, who are not part of a community, and do things the way we would do in other campuses. We have to introduce them to Jesus every quarter. A simple gospel that's beautiful and appealing and winsome. And often, at our chapel programs, Martina and I will put our phone numbers on the screens and we'll say, hey, have you thought about baptism? And we'll get tons of text messages that are full of jokes and funny and whatever. And always 10, 15 who say, yeah, I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm ready. Usually seniors who have been with us for 3 or 4 years and now having been with us for 3 or 4 years, they say, yeah, I want to be a part of this permanently. Permanently. So we baptize them at the end of the year. We hold a baptismal service in our wake. Last year we had how many? 23, 24 one staff member last year. And during one of those baptisms years ago, I saw what I believe is the best explanation for the best visualization for Ellen White's vision of redemption in our education, in higher education. A woman who had come to our church, our local church, years before, who had been beaten up by her boyfriend the night before, showed up with bruises and her two babies, walked into our church lobby, and one of our greeters looked at her and said, wherever you've been, whatever happened to you last night, you're safe here. We're going to take care of you. Treviette is her name. She had driven to Riverside thinking she would go and have a picnic with her kids, because she thought there was a river there. And she met a grassy area and some trees and some shade. And instead, on that Saturday morning, she made a left on Pierce Street when she got off of the 91 highway, drove looking for the river, and instead she saw a church and lots of people there, and she saw her campus completely empty. There's no one there. Why? This is a ghost town, but the church is full of people. It must be a wedding because it's Saturday. So we're going to go to a reception in case we're going to eat reception food. Could be better than the sandwiches I packed. But instead, when she walked into our church lobby, she found a local congregation who, by the way, birthed the university and gives it its vision every day. It's the reason why we exist. Right? And this woman and her husband took her to their home for the next 4 years.
Wow.
Until she graduated. They brought her to the university and enrolled her. And at the end of her education, I actually thought that she was part of that family and they just, you know, they loved her like her own, etc. But no, at the end of her 4 years, she came to me one day and she said, I got the text, I want to be baptized, please. I said, okay, let's do this. And we baptized her one Friday evening at the end of the school year. And she came out of the water. She came out of that water splashing everyone, shouting hallelujah. And then she went over to these two people who received her in that lobby and hugged her. They hugged him. She hugged them, soaked them completely. And that I'll never forget that moment because I knew at that moment. Here's a perfect example of education as the work of redemption.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
The church fought with each other. The church was dead. The school saved the church. Not because the school was more infamous, but because the school changed its focus. And the school is now 90% not infamous. And I say, praise the Lord. Our schools should be servicing everybody because a good education is valuable wherever you come from. The thing that bothers me is that we love to see people who aren't Adventists come to Adventist schools. We still don't see schools as engaged with, and we'd love to be there, we'd love to be kept and all that, but a school we don't own, that we don't hire the teachers for, the facility that's not ours, and then we finally get a little piece left over to do something with the community. And I think that we need to have to rearrange the whole way of the way we think about what our priorities are, especially if education is the main thing that we do. Perhaps more money should go towards the school, and not just for the Bible teacher, not just for the dean of students, but for the whole mission of what they do there, and we see each other as the same thing.
Thank you. Yes.
My name is Anna Lamberton. I'm a member of the Meadowway Church in Vancouver, right in Battleground, and I'm part of a prayer ministry called Moms in Prayer, where we as moms pray for our children every week. And one specific part of the prayer, this is an interdenominational program that many other churches participate with too, but part of that prayer, it's praying for your children in their schools, is always about the teachers being mentors to your children. And I see as a great benefit of Adventist education that my husband and I have sent our kids to, and my son is here, our daughter's in Mobilinda, is the mentors that they have within the Adventist school system. Anybody here that has young adult children or teenage children knows that it becomes as hard as a parent where you can only do so much, or where your kids will only listen so much, but these mentors in their lives become so important, and both my kids have had some very important mentors. So besides the fact that we want to send them to an excellent school, and yeah, maybe find a spouse, yes or no, but to have these mentors, and as the education, the student population changes towards more non-Adventist kids, the importance of those mentors becomes even more, because it may be the only, you know, positive Christian person in your life might be your psychology professor or your chemistry teacher. And so it's a huge ministry to our children.
Bill Cork with NAD Chaplaincy Ministries. I think any discussion of education has to deal with another reality, kind of the 500-pound gorilla in the room. We looked at this room, raised their hands, 90% the product of Adventist education. At NAD year-end meetings a couple of years ago, people raised their hands, about 90% of our administrators and bureaucrats, product of Adventist education. Adventist education has been a primary way of enculturation for Adventist leadership. But we're the exact inverse of the Adventist population reality, which is 80 to 90% not attending Adventist schools, colleges and universities. Now, way back 100 and some odd years ago, in the 1890s, when the first Catholic Newman Clubs were being started, was when Ellen White said, we need to encourage some students to go to University of Michigan at Ann Arbor, and we need to be doing ministry there. But it was only last year that we finally hired somebody at the GC level to have responsibility for public campus ministry, and to begin to see that maybe this is not a zero-sum game, that maybe there is a role that we have to play for these. Yeah, certainly, if we're relying upon our leadership coming from Adventist institutions and our members are not going there, how is even the leadership here supposed to get what the attitudes and outlook and values of the people in the pews are who have a different world?
University in Florida. Over 74% of our students are non-Adventists. I had a student come into my office one day and said, Chaplain, Randall, why should I become a Seventh-day Adventist? And my answer to him was, I have no idea. I said, but if you want, we can study. Because it's not my job to convert, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convert. Many years back, there was a student who wanted to go on a mission trip. At that time, we were involved with Share Him. And says, I'd like to go on this mission trip. I told her exactly what to do, what it was all about. I said, pray about it. Come back next week. She came back, says, I want to do it. I said, fill out the application on my computer. And one of the questions on the application says, what church are you, Seventh-day Adventist church are you a member of? And she looked at me, she goes, what do I put there? I said, it's simple, it's telling you what church you're a member of. And she looked at me, she says, I'm not Adventist, I'm Catholic. I don't know if it was my face, but she says, is there a problem? I said, no. Just put your own member of my church, Forest Lake Church. She left, and I'm like, God, you got a sense of humor. How am I going to send a Catholic to preach at Adventist church? I told her to keep quiet, not say anything to nobody. And we went on this mission trip. They told her she had to be baptized. She called me crying, says, I told you I didn't want to be baptized. I said, you don't. I'll take care of it. To this day, I have never heard a calling like that young lady did the calling the last day we were there on Friday for everybody. But that day as well, she came to me and says, I get this. I want to be an Adventist.
Great.
Not only an actual question about not having
steps to Christ. And this idea of wanting to be more and more like Jesus. And hopefully our school and our church, that is our goal. Not just sitting and creating avenues, but creating more disciples.
We're going to take Dillas and Dale and Rachel and Allegra, but this is what we're going to do. I'm going to actually ask you to be really quick because we're going to press so and then Judy last. Let's go as quick as we can. Dillas, done. Thank you.
My name is Allegra Nelson. I'm a recruiter for one of our health organizations, so I'm going out to find these students and make sure they have meaningful jobs in our health networks. And one thing that I want to bring up that I want to keep on the forefront here because I'm so passionate about it is in healthcare, first, we must have excellent organizations. We must provide safe, quality care before we can truly be missionaries. So first, we must be excellent. So I want to make sure that we keep in the forefront of our minds, keep academics excellent. Let's be competitive with the rest of the nation. Let's be top-notch. Let's be Ivy League. Those are the people that I want to recruit. And then we have a platform to truly go out and be missionaries on. So please, be excellent.
Right, what we're going to do is this. We're going to stand up all of us. We're going to stand up all of us.